Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you all for coming for the Texas Farm and Ranch Land Conservation Council, Thursday, October 28th. Before we get started, I'll do a roll call, but also we have quite a few people that are calling in remote. So because of that, I'll ask for the vote and call everybody by name. There'll be a slight delay possibly, but we'll just deal with it. We think we have them all on board, so we think we're ready to go. So I'm going to start with the roll call. I'm Beaver Applin. I'm present. Kathleen Jackson.
Present.
Foster.
Present.
Lopez.
Present.
Burgess.
Here.
Zier.
Present.
Frank.
Present.
Scott.
Present.
Kinsel.
Here.
Rojas.
Present.
Swanson.
Present.
And apparently Natalie is absent. Okay, so sounds like we have all but one. I want to call this meeting to order October 28th, 2021, 10:02 a.m. Before I proceed with any business, I believe Mr. Ted Hollingsworth has a statement he'd like to make.
Chairman, council folk, good morning. Thanks for joining us for this important meeting. A public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed with the Office of the Secretary of State as required by Chapter 551, Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act. I would like for this fact to be noted in the official record of this meeting. I would also just like to underscore what the chairman has said. This is the first time that this department has attempted a hybrid in-person and remote meeting. Staff have worked hard. I want to thank Andra for investing a lot of time in making sure this goes as smoothly as possible. But as the chairman said, there may be delays in responses, and bear with us. This is a brand new technology for us, so we're on the cutting edge now of open meetings. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Ted. Once again, I'd like to welcome everybody, tell them good morning. Before we begin today's agenda, I want to remind everybody that the September plan meeting had to be rescheduled due to a lack of quorum. And so today's meeting will address those items originally scheduled for the September meeting. I'd also like to take a moment to welcome new council member Romy. Thank you. We have Romy Swanson. He's the director of conservation at the Audubon. And he fills the land trust position on the council. So welcome, Roman.
Thank you.
We're going to start with item number two, Mr. Hollingsworth.
Advance, please. We're going to start this morning's presentations with a program review for returning and new council members. Next. Again, this is just an overview of the Farm and Ranch program, what we called the Farm and Ranch Program. It was established in 2005 by the Texas Legislature. It was recognized as far back as actually several sessions going into 2005 when the program was passed, that Texas is losing working lands faster than any other state in the nation, and that there's a need to try and curb that trend some. To make sure that, you know, a generation, two, three generations from now, that there are working lands producing food and fiber and timber in this state. And so the legislature established the program in 2005 and placed it under the Texas General Land Office. After a few cycles, it was determined that General Land Office wasn't really the agency with the mission and the staff to best manage the program. And in 2015, the Texas Legislature under House Bill 1925 transferred that program to Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and since that time has authorized $2 million each session to fund the program. Next slide. The Farm and Ranch program is housed within the Lands Conservation Program at Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. This council, the Texas Farm and Ranch Land Conservation Council, is the governing body that provides oversight and takes actions on behalf of the program. There are 12 members, six of which are ex officio members, and the other six of which are governor appointees. Next. The purposes for the program, and you'll see these when we get to the actual scoring criteria later, come directly out of House Bill 1925 and were basically dictated by the legislature. Working lands are the focus, but working lands in particular that are threatened with development are a high priority. Those that also protect sensitive wildlife habitats, sensitive and listed species, and do much to preserve and enhance water quality in watersheds and aquifers are the criteria under which we score these. There are also some criteria for value, high value of the applicants. So the grants that you award today will go to sponsor organizations, and those are organizations that are qualified to hold conservation easements, and then they work directly with the landowners whose land we'll take a look at today. They work directly with those landowners to craft those conservation easements. They work very closely with staff here at the department to make sure that those fulfill the intent and the mission of the program. And then we have to have those closed out by the end of the biennium just because of the way the state funds are appropriated. Next slide. In the last three cycles under which we've had the program and managed the program, we've granted 21 projects, and you can see from this Texas that every region of the state except for the Panhandle is now represented by lands that are protected by farm and ranch land program project conservation easements. Next slide. Those projects, those 21 projects, protect more than 27,000 acres. Next. And these statistics, I think, are really, really significant and worth noting. I really want to thank Roel Lopez at the Natural Resource Institute at A&M for the effort he and his team have put into evaluating these properties and trying to quantify these values. But essentially, within those 21 projects, $2.9 million in agricultural commodities per year have been protected, have been conserved in perpetuity. Next slide. About $170,000 in wildlife value annually is protected by those projects. Next slide. I think this is particularly significant. The fact that these lands are conserved and are managed under best land management practices results in roughly $7.3 million annually in water quality and quantity replacement value over similar lands that are poorly managed. And again, thanks to Roel and his team for figuring out how to quantify these values. But I think they reflect just how important this program is for the state of Texas. And the need, if at all possible, to expand the program so we can protect even more working lands in the future. Next slide. Matching the funds that the program has awarded, that this council has awarded, is $11 million in federal funds, $6 million in matching funds from various sources, including foundations and trusts and individuals. And that's been used to match the $3.8 million in state funds that have been distributed to date. Next slide. That represents a cash leverage of about 10 to 1, but in terms of the value of those conservation easements that have been protected, it's about a 27 to 1 return on the funds that have been appropriated to this program and awarded by the council. The average price per acre that's been protected is $148, and 86% of the projects that y'all have approved and have now been closed had significant leverage funding involved. Next slide. Any questions or comments?
This would be a great time if anybody has any thoughts, questions, comments for Ted.
I'd just like to say that's an amazing presentation, and you know, on the behalf of the Texas Water Development Board, Texas Parks and Wildlife has been a truly remarkable partner. And Mr. Chairman, not only the chairman of the council, but also Texas Parks and Wildlife, amazing folks who work with the Water Development Board on regional water planning, active participants with regional flood planning. And, you know, just kind of looking at the projects that we're considering today, nearly 18,000 acres protected. And I actually thought this was a mistake. $103 average cost to the state per acre. That is amazing. And then, of course, you know, drawing in that local support, $6.2 million, that investment in the program by the people who are stewards, not only by kind of upfronting that cost, but also, I mean, every year they have to provide a report to the council on how they've been managing the land and best practice. And I think I shared with you my late husband was a rice farmer, and so important that we have the strategic food supply, and so important that this this program really focuses on working land. So I think, you know, a great investment by the state of Texas. Again, you know, when I talk about this program to folks that, you know, I kind of run into, the sparkler is, you know, right at, 18,000 acres protected, $103 an average cost per acre. And, you know, this year an investment of about $1.8 million. So, again, just really appreciate the hard work of Texas Parks and Wildlife on stewarding this program and what you do day in and day out to support Texas and the great partners that you are with the Texas Water Development Board. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I don't think we can overemphasize the value of the program. It just looking at water benefits. I mean, we know that water is going to become more and more critical. We know that water is one of the drivers for the legislature for funding this program. And again, I want to thank Roel because his team have done such a bang up job of figuring out how to quantify what those real savings and values are. And again, just the need to optimize the program going forward and hopefully even expand it as we go forward.
Thank you, Kevin. Anybody else? Ted, I have a question. The legislation has approved $2 million a year. Your report showed $3.8 million in state funds. Can you help me align the difference of why two a year, but its state funds are $3.8 million?
Yes, sir, I sure can. Of the $2 million each year, 10% is earmarked in the legislation and in the appropriations bill to pay for Chris Abernathy's salary. He's the program coordinator. He's not able to be here today. And for ancillary costs, postage, shipping, printing, some participation we do working with some of our partners. And I'm going to venture to guess that 3.8 actually reflects the two fully completed cycles, and that at the end of this, well, we've just completed a cycle that when those numbers are tallied, it will be closer to $5.6 million that we've actually spent on grants to date.
Okay. So I understand that clears that up for me. I agree with you. I think this is one of the really, really neat programs that we have. When you look at how it works, I mean, 27,000 acres to date, $2.93 million agriculture protection, the wildlife, $7 million in water annually. I mean, it's just huge. And of course, the federal funds and the matching funds all add up, but the return on investment, historically is $148 an acre and getting even better. So it's just, I don't know, can't say enough about it. Did any of our call-in members have any questions or comments? If not, we'll move on. Okay, hearing none, Ted, thank you for that. We'll move on to action item number 3 is review and approval of the minutes from the October 2020 council meeting, which have already been distributed. I need a motion for approval.
I move we approve.
Second.
Excuse me, because we're doing doing them this way, please, if you'll make your motion and then the name, and then second in your name.
I move we approve Kathleen Jackson.
I'll second Burgess.
I got a motion and a second. Voting is going to be done by roll call, just because that's how we have to do it these days. Applin, I vote yes. Jackson?
I vote yes.
Foster?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes. Sorry, I couldn't unmute.
Was that a yes?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Thank you. Lori?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Kinsel?
Yes.
Rojas?
Yes.
Swanson?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, you skipped. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. You seconded it, and I left you out.
Yeah, that's all right. Quite all right.
Oh, we wouldn't want to miss that. We want unanimous on this one.
Yeah, we're all good.
So thank you very much. Move on to – anyway, I didn't hear any opposed. It's unanimous, so the minutes are approved. Ted, item number four, status of the Texas Farm and Ranch Land Conservation Program existing projects.
I don't know if I need to go on the record each time, but for the record, my name is Ted Hollingsworth, and I'm in the Land Conservation Program at Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. What we're going to do here is just take a little bit deeper dive into the projects that have been approved, that have been completed through this program in the last three cycles. Next slide. Next slide. You saw this slide earlier, but the projects are fairly well distributed. There is a bit of a concentration in the Edwards Plateau and along the coast, and part of that has to do with where we have the most active land trusts. Part of it has to do with where we have landowners that are really well educated about conservation easements and are interested in participating. And some of that has to do with literally where projects were already in the work, where we already had land trusts working with landowners, and those projects were kind of teed up and ready to seek funding. We are actively working with partners across the state to make sure that the entire state is well represented in this program. Seven projects in the first cycle after the program came to the agency, six the next cycle, eight in the last cycle. Next slide. This is a little too small to really read. I only want to emphasize that of all those projects that have been approved, all of them have closed except for three, which are literally just weeks away from closing, to completely close out all the funds that have been appropriated to the program to date. Those three were fiscal year 2021 projects. Those funds are all encumbered. Those projects are all under contract. Their closing's scheduled, and we're just quickly moving towards closing out those last three projects. Next slide. And that's the status of the program.
Thank you, Ted.
Chairman, I got a question.
Yes, please.
Ted, I just wanted to clarify something. On the map, it shows there's nine projects, but it says eight. And I was just curious if there was one more added in there.
For what year?
For 2021.
We funded nine, and there was one that was unable to close right fairly early in the process. And so there were nine that were approved by the council, and then one that withdrew because this is one of those inherent risks. The conservation easements are fairly strict about changing land uses, and after the council approved the conservation easement, the landowner was approached by a pipeline company that was going to pay him a very significant amount of money for a pipeline that was going to take out a significant portion of that property that would have been under easement, and he opted out of the program.
Thank you.
Anybody else, any questions? Thank you, Ted. We'll move on to item number five, presentation of the 22-23 program applications. Mr. Hollingsworth.
Chairman, members of the council, I'm Ted Hollingsworth, for the record. And we are going to take a look at the 18 applications that were received for the current funding cycle that you are considering today. Next slide. The applications came from 7 different land trusts. They represent projects in 16 different counties. The projects range in size from 62 acres to over 11,000 acres. The applicants requested a total of $4.2 million or $4.15 million to complete projects valued at over $31 million that would have placed conservation easements on 28,000 acres. I do want to pause just a moment here. All of these land trusts have been working very closely with us the last few years. We have very excellent working relationships. You may become aware between now and the next session that there will probably be a push to request more funding for the program. And the question comes up, if we had more funding, would we be able to spend all the money? And the answer is yes. These trusts have worked very carefully to cull their wish list down to the projects that they think are the best match for this program, are going to score the best in this program. And we just know from our working relationships with these trusts that if we had $10 million to spend, we would see over $10 million worth of applications come in. I have no doubt that the projects are out there. The number of landowners that are interested in this program continues to grow. And again, I have outstanding working relationships with all of these land trusts and several others. Next slide. The applications were well distributed across the state. Again, just because of the lack of active land trusts in the Panhandle, we have not seen any applicants from the Panhandle region. We are working with partners and hope to correct that in the future. But again, the projects are well distributed across the state. Next slide. Next slide. So I just briefly want to explain this slide. If you look in the next to last column, these are the projects that were submitted that also requested funding assistance from NRCS, the National Resource or Natural Resource Conservation Service, various programs for conservation easements. Their funding cycle corresponds fairly closely with ours, and so we've worked closely with the state NRCS office to agree that a project may apply for NRCS funding before they know whether or not they have farm and ranch lands program from this funding from this council. Likewise, we've agreed to accept applications that propose federal funding as a match, not knowing if the NRCS funding is going to come through or not. For reasons I'm not really clear on, the scoring criteria don't line up as closely as we would all like for it to. And so those lines you see in yellow are lines where we received applications that were proposing to use NRCS funding as match, but did not receive that funding. And I believe in one case we opted to propose funding the project anyway because of its extreme value and because it wasn't a large amount of money that did not come through. In the case of the Miller Ranch, they did not get the NRCS funding, but they immediately got to work and found another source of federal funding to make up that match. We work closely with NRCS and are hoping in the future to be able to make those projects line up a little better so they can take more advantage of the state funding that's available and we can take more advantage of the federal funding that's available. But again, I just wanted to explain this chart. And as we go through these projects, we'll start with the projects that ranked highest by the ranking committee, and then we'll go through And not that any of these projects are not worthwhile. You'll see these are all really worthwhile projects. But as they scored in accordance with those criteria that were dictated to us by the legislature, this is how the projects fell out. We'll go through them from project that ranked highest through to the project that ranked the lowest. Next slide, please. The Mid-Island Ranch is on Mustang Island. The project sponsors the Nature Conservancy. The request from the Farm and Ranch Program was for $100,000. The request from the NRCS was $450,000. The landowner is putting in a $100,000 cash match. 227 acres on Mustang Island is probably worth significantly more than $600,000. This was the value that the landowner put on the property, and he made it very clear that he does not want the property developed. He wants the property protected. The cost per acre on this one is $441. That would be the cost of that would be council funds, council approved funds, versus the value of the conservation easement. Next slide. Unfortunately, we don't have the Mustang Island State Park outlined here, but it's immediately south of this property. Not quite contiguous, but probably half a mile south of this property is the state park. And, of course, just north of this property is Port Aransas. Not much undeveloped land left on the island, and a 227-acre block is not only very much threatened with development, but represents a very significant conservation contribution to that entire coastal barrier island landscape. Next slide. If you're not familiar with the barrier islands, this picture may not seem real impressive, but it is a wonderful example of a native strand prairie. The property starts at Highway 161, 361, runs all the way to the bay. Next slide. This is adjacent to the property boundary. You can see what is happening across the island. If you've been to Mustang Island in the last few years, you know that that land is at a premium, and it's getting covered up with condos and homes, and this is the kind of development that would be expected if this property were sold into private, and this owner and we did not have a conservation easement on it. So again, scored very high in terms of threats and in terms of natural resource values. Next slide. The second project is called the Buck Creek Ranch. The project sponsors the Katy Prairie Conservancy, a little over 2,400 acres in Jackson County. The request from this council is for $150,000 to be matched with a $1.9 million NACA grant. The estimated value of the conservation easement is over $3 million. The landowner has contributed $46,000. The cost per acre on this one is $62. Next slide. You can see this is a little northeast of Victoria. Next slide. It is a working cattle ranch. Next slide. Has a nice mix of habitats, included some forested areas and some native pasture. It's hard to tell from this slide, but the property is being well managed. The landowners are conservation-minded. The Katy Prairie Conservancy would be an outstanding steward for the conservation easement. They have a wonderful track record in Southeast Texas for managing conservation easement protected properties. Next slide. There are some water features on the property, and all of those water features on the coast, as most of you know, are just magnets for migratory waterfowl and migratory shore and wading birds. Next slide. And there are still portions of the ranch that are in rice farming. Next slide. Albritton Ranch Phase 2, and this one is called Phase 2 because the council did approve a conservation easement on a portion of the Albritton Ranch a couple cycles ago. That one is closed out and has proved to be a very outstanding landowner and land steward, protects some very significant natural resources. It's in Bandera County, the heart of the Hill Country. The request from this council is for a grant of $405,000. The NRCS grant is for $1.7 million with a $200,000 in-kind donation. The estimated value of the conservation easement is $2.3 million, which gives us a cost per acre of $364. Next slide. Can't tell much from this picture except that it straddles from some fairly rugged terrain in the central Hill Country. Next slide. And this picture, you can see it is pretty rugged property. This picture doesn't really do it justice. It's quite rugged. There are some wonderful dogtooth maple groves, some wonderful groves up in some of these box canyons, some seep springs, a number of SGCN species, of greatest conservation need species, occur in these canyons. Next slide. This is what the bottoms of those canyons look like. There are actually live water in places. There are a number of springs and seeps, some very significant riparian areas in some of these canyons. Next slide. Again, you can see that where there is live water, it's air clear. You can see in the other picture that there's some natural native savanna properties that protect some of those indigenous and endemic Hill Country species. Next slide. The next project the next proposal is for a conservation easement on the Lavaca Ranch, again sponsored by the Katy Prairie Conservancy, 572 acres, also in Jackson County. $60,000 is requested. There's a $10,300 cash match. The estimated value of the conservation easement is $756,000. Giving us a cost per acre of $105. Next slide, please. Again, also in Jackson County, northwest of Victoria, northwest of Edna, and basically west of the ranch we just looked at. Next slide. There are some water features on the Lavaca Ranch. You can tell from this picture that it's a little farther inland from the coast, a little more rolling terrain. Next slide. A good diversity of habitat. If you know your grasses, you recognize some paspalums and some little blue stem in the foreground, and a mix of native trees in the background. Next slide. And we have nesting bald eagles on the Lavaca Ranch. Next slide. The Port Bay Ranch, this is a project sponsored by the Nature Conservancy, a little over 1,200 acres in Aransas County. The request from this council is for a grant of $180,000. There's a $900,000 NRCS match and a $25,000 cash match. The estimated value of the conservation easement is $1.2 million, which yields for this program a cost per acre of $150. Next slide, please. This area is on the mainland side of the Aransas Bay, Corpus Christi Bay complex. This entire landscape, all of the lands you can see that have not been converted to residential use or to ag use, have been the targets of conservation for the Nature Conservancy and for the Coastal Bend Basin Estuary. The Coastal Bend Basin Estuaries Program, as well as the I'm drawing a blank, but it's the Estuary Program, the Coastal Bend Coastal Bays Estuary Program, and all these properties that are undeveloped have got very high value for everything from whooping cranes to native crustaceans and amphibians that really occur nowhere else. And so this is a tremendous opportunity to take out really the core of that area that, that these organizations have been trying to protect for a number of years. Next slide. Again, kind of takes a trained eye to really appreciate those coastal prairies, but this is a healthy native tall grass prairie. It's a little brown because it's a winter shot, but again, a very important habitat in terms of the species that, that use this habitat. Next slide, please. And this is what the edge of Port Bay looks like. And Port Bay flows into Aransas Bay, and you can see the transition to the salt flats and Salicornia marshes, and then into the salt marshes, and then the prairie that you saw in the previous picture. Next slide. Another nice thing about this property is that because of the topography and the landscape position, we do have wetlands that grade all the way from freshwater wetlands into estuarine wetlands, and those intermediate wetlands and those wetlands with very low salinity are very limited in their scope in Texas, very limited in their aerial coverage in Texas, but extremely important, especially for migratory shore and wading birds, a number of crustaceans and worms and insects that have to have, and amphibians, quite frankly, have to have this water with very, very low salinity, not too salty and not too fresh. Next slide. The C.E. Miller Ranch, the sponsor for this one is TALT, the Texas Agricultural Land Trust. This ranch was a 2003 winner of the Lone Star Land Steward Award, a very well stewarded, very well managed ranch, over 11,000 acres. Apologize for the typo here. It's actually in Presidio County and not Jackson County. The request from the council is for a grant of $500,000. There's a $1.3 million. There was a request to the NRCS that was not funded. TALT went out and found other federal funding sources, and they were able to get that almost $1.3 million in match in order to complete this project. The estimated value of the conservation easement is $3.3 million. Landowner cash match is nearly a million. Cost per acre on this one is $44. Next slide. Again, you can tell sort of that this project straddles, it's in north central Presidio County, sort of straddles that those upper elevation midgrass prairies up onto a low mountain range. The next slide. Again, you can see those prairies that do not occur at the lower elevations, but those midgrass prairies occur at the higher elevations where it's the climate's a little more moderate, a little more rainfall, and the ranch goes all the way back into those hills that you see in the background. Next slide. And this is what it looks like when you get up into those hills. You can see that as the elevation changes and as those hills and valleys collect some moisture, you get different plant communities. Next slide. And again, those are important for catching and concentrating and holding water. You can tell by the grasses and the riparian vegetation that a number of these canyons are wet at least part of the year, very, very critical for the indigenous wildlife in that part of the world. And again, a very, very well-managed cattle operation on top of that. Next slide, please. The V.M. Murphy Ranch, the sponsor for that project is the Nature Conservancy, 1,700 acres in Bandera County. The request from the council is for $430,000. The requested NRCS match was for almost $1.8 million. Estimated market value of the easement is $2.4 million. Cost per acre would have been $253 per acre. Next slide. One of the fascinating things about this particular project is that it does abut the Lost Maples State Natural Area, which is outlined in red. It's immediately to the east of the State Natural Area, one of our very, very popular state park managed areas. Next slide. Again, pretty rugged, classic hill country, terrain right in the watershed of Canis Creek and the little river that runs there through Lost Maple State Park, some live water on the property, very significant contributions to those watersheds, and again, a number of SGCN species occur in these Edwards Plateau hills and canyons. Next slide. Again, just more water and another picture of that ranch. Next slide. And again, this is part of that iconic hill country topography and view sheds that that the hill country is just is so known for. Those beautiful beautiful iconic views that go for miles and miles and miles and miles. Next slide. The next project is the Burleson Ranch in Maruna Prairie. The Native Prairies Association of Texas is the sponsor for this proposal, 420 acres in Bell County. The request from this council is for $280,000. The estimated value of the conservation easement is $1.17 million. Cost per acre would be $677. Next slide. This one is sort of a twofer. There's two 401 acres. In the tract, you can see it on the north part of this slide, and then to the south, there's an 18-acre tract, which probably would not have been considered as a standalone project, but it's part of this proposal. That 18-acre tract is a remnant prairie that there's a concerted effort underway to preserve. Next slide. Again, you can see a significant area of mature native prairie on both of these tracks, in fact. Next slide. Here's the Maruna Prairie and a group of prairie enthusiasts out there inventorying the native plants that occur on that tract. Next slide. The next project is the Cypress River Ranch. The project sponsor is the Texas Agricultural Land Trust. It's about 1,100 acres in Marion County. It's just a few miles upstream from the Caddo Lake Wildlife Management Area. The request to the council was for $650,000. The request to NRCS was for $1.1 million. The estimated value of the conservation easement, $2.2 million. Landowner cash match, $550,000. Cost per acre, $591. Next slide. You can see Caddo Lake in the east end of this picture. The watershed for the lake is the Cypress biosystem. It's referred to as Cypress River at this ranch, but it is the main, again, the main watershed, the main tributary for the Caddo Lake system. Next slide. It is a working cattle ranch. Nice diversity of, it's sort of a savanna, nice diversity of grasslands, riparian habitats, Cypress River habitats, and some forested areas. Next slide. This is what Cypress Bio looks like adjacent to the property. Very intact. You can see where it gets its name. This project, if it is not funded, will continue to be a high priority. A number of folks, including folks in this agency, are looking for ways to acquire that conservation easement. This stretch of the river is so intact, and the water quality is so high, and it's so so undisturbed by anthropogenic impacts such as dams, that it is the primary release site now for the endangered paddlefish, in an attempt to reestablish and recover the paddlefish. So this is what good paddlefish habitat looks like. Next slide. And again, large areas of the Cypress River Ranch are managed as a native and improved prairie for that cattle operation. Next slide. Next one is the Helwyn Farms. The sponsor is the Katy Prairie Conservancy, 358 acres in Brazoria County. The request from the council was for $28,000. Estimated value of the conservation easement, $671,000. Landowner cash contribution, $36,000. Cost per acre would be $78. Next slide. Again, you can see this one is a little southwest of Alvin, southeast of Rocheron, sort of central Brazoria County. Next slide. It is primarily a rice farm. This is a time of the year when the water has been drawn off in order to care for that field prior to flooding. Next slide. Again, another picture of that rice field prior to flooding. Next slide. Again, just another picture showing the canals that provide irrigation water for that rice farm. Next slide. The next project is the Shannon Ranch. The sponsor is the Texas Agricultural Land Trust, 367 acres in Blanco County, almost 131,000 requested from the council. There's a $20,000 cash match. The estimated value of the conservation easement, $1.6 million. Cost per acre would be $356. Next slide. Not on the river, but to the south of the river there in Blanco County. Next slide. Some rolling topography and intermittent tributary can be seen, and sort of a savanna habitat with some oak trees and some of that juniper, as well as some grasslands. Next slide. And you can see here there's some fairly healthy little bluestem prairie and not a lot of juniper, some oak trees. The property's been clearly has been fairly well managed. And again, I want to emphasize as we look at through all of these that all of these are really viable projects, and it's a shame we can't fund all of them. But these properties that serve as working cattle ranches, these properties that have some row crop agriculture or rice farms, and are well cared for and also provide significant natural resource values, including protecting watershed and really taking good care of that rain where it lands on the ground, whether it goes from there into tributaries or whether it goes from there into aquifers. These are just really, really significant values that I hope we can protect more and more of as we go forward. Next slide. There's a little bit of live water on the Shannon Ranch. Next slide. The next one is the Marisol Ranch. Again, the applicant is TALT, Texas Agricultural Land Trust, 3,900 acres in Uvalde County. The request to the council was for $125,000. The request to NRCS was for almost $2.5 million. The estimated market value of the conservation easement is almost $5 million. Cost per acre would have been $32. The next slide. Again, you can see this ranch straddles the Nueces River right on the outskirts of the town of Uvalde. Next slide. There's the Nueces River where it flows through this ranch. Next slide. More pictures of the Nueces River. Next slide. Next slide. The next project is the Abel Ranch. The sponsor is the Native Prairies Association of Texas, 520 acres in Hopkins County. $30,000 was requested from the council. There was a request to NRCS for $366,000. Estimated value of the conservation easement, a little shy of $500,000. Landowner cash match was $122,000. Cost per acre, $58. Next slide. Really can't tell much, but this project is in central northeast Texas. Next slide. Again, another one of those working cattle ranches that's a nice combination of pasture areas and forested areas. Next slide. There is a landowners do have an active restoration program. They do burn those prairies. Next slide. Here you can see why. Those burns really do stimulate the native grasses to come back in abundance. Next slide. The next project that was proposed is the J.A. Ranch. The applicant is the Texas Agricultural Land Trust, 1,155 acres in Montague County. The request from the council was for $120,000. There was a request to NRCS for a little over $3 million. There was a cash match of $1.6 million, estimated market value of $4.7 million for that conservation easement. Cost per acre would have been $104. Next slide. Again, this one is west of the last project we looked at. It's not very far northwest of Fort Worth. Next project. I'm sorry, next slide. Here you can see a bottoms that is in mature pecan trees. Next slide. And there is water on the property. Sort of a rolling topography, a mix of prairies and some tree habitat. Next slide. And some very healthy native little bluestem prairie, as you can see in this slide. Next slide, please. Next project is the Bennett Ranch. The applicant is the Pines and Prairies Land Trust. Their focus is on preserving what's left of the Lost Pines area in Bastrop, Fayette counties, and then habitats, prairie habitats that surround that core, that Lost Pines core. This is 181 acres in Bastrop County. The request from the council is for $211,000, almost $500,000 requested from NRCS. Value of the conservation easement estimated at $650,000 for a cost per acre of almost $1,200. Next slide, please. You can see from this picture that if this property is conserved, it's basically going to be an island. It is surrounded by that's Bastrop, and it is surrounded by Bastrop. The lake immediately to the east is Lake Bastrop. Next slide. A horse ranch. It is nice habitat. There's some lost pine habitats. It's in the Houston Toad critical habitat designated area, I believe. Nice habitat. Again, the good and the bad is that it's surrounded by the city of Bastrop. Basically, would be an island, which underscores the value it would have for protecting native species, but also underscores the risk of long-term management for a property that size that's surrounded by urban development. Next slide. We had some snow in Bastrop County this last winter. Next slide. Here's a pond on the property. You can see the pine trees in the background. Again, this is in that Lost Pines, well within that Lost Pines habitat area. Next slide. Next slide. The next project is the Sullivan River Ranch. The applicant was the Texas Agricultural Land Trust, 928 acres in Leon County. Requesting almost $500,000 from this council, requested $772,000 from NRCS. There would have been a $386,000 in-kind match contribution from the landowner. Estimated market value of that conservation easement, a little over $1.5 million for a cost per acre to this program if we funded this proposal of $524 per acre. Next slide. Again, in Leon County, with frontage on the Trinity River. Next slide. working cattle operation with, you can see the cattle operating facilities, and that most of the property is in either native or improved pastures. Next slide. Again, more of that pasture country. Next slide. And of course, the livestock tanks for that for the cattle operation. Rush Creek Ranch sponsors the Nature Conservancy, 62 acres in Tyler County, a request of $100,000 from the Texas Farm and Ranchland Conservation Program Council, $33,000 cash match, estimated market value of the conservation easement a little over $100,000, cost per acre $1,600. Next slide. Next slide, please. This one is in Deep East Texas, and it's a 62-acre tract. Probably wouldn't normally be proposed for funding from the council. This particular tract is a high priority for the Nature Conservancy because of the how rare this habitat type is. And I may get it wrong, but I believe it's a beach red bay habitat, which is just very, very, very limited habitat, occurs only in Deep East Texas. This happens to be a particularly good and undisturbed example of that habitat. Next slide. And there is some live water. It's a sandy soil, and there's a live creek that flows through, which really is what makes possible and what supports that particular habitat. Next slide. The Wallhanger Ranch, it was proposed by the Valley Land Fund. Their focus is on protecting properties in the southernmost part of the state, primarily along the Rio Grande, the lower Rio Grande. This particular tract is 438 acres in Jim Hogg County. The request from the council was for $162,000. Estimated value of the conservation easement, $191,000. Cost per acre would be $370. Next slide. Hard to tell much from this picture, but again, central Hogg County. Next slide, please. Typical South Texas, that part of the world, mixture of, it's sort of a savanna habitat, mixture of trees and thorn scrub, and a mixture of native prairie. Next slide. Is working cattle operation. There are some stock ponds. It's also active hunting operation on the property. Next slide. Again, just typical of that South Texas savanna country, where it's sort of grading from the South Texas thorn scrub into more of a savanna country. Next slide. That is the 18 projects that are proposed for which the council received requests. There were actually 19 to begin with. One of those did not receive the NRS funding, and the applicant just requested that we withdraw the proposal and not go through the exercise of scoring it or presenting it to the council. So these are the 18 that remain. We're going to take a look at how those ranked in the next presentation, but before we get there, does anyone have any questions?
Maybe just a brief comment. As it turned out, I guess it was number one priority on the list. And as you know, we had our booklet, you know, back in September. So I did have the opportunity firsthand to see the project in Port Aransas, the Mid-Island project. And it's everything that you say it is. There's development. I mean, it's this little island of undeveloped area and very much, you know, supports the coastal basin island and those landscapes. So I think a great pick on that project, and a real tribute right to the landowner for stepping to the plate in all of these, because not only are they doing that upfront investment, but that ongoing stewardship of these properties. But I did want to tell you that I did get a chance to see this one personally, and again from the road. But I mean, the presentation you gave, I mean, I'd like to be able to go out and see all of them. They're great examples and wonderful work by the staff.
They are, and like I say, I mean, what frustrates staff is that we can't fund more, that there's not enough money to fund more of these projects. And you're right, Mustang Island, I plan to live long enough to see Mustang Island look a lot like Galveston Island. So those 200-acre tracks, undeveloped tracks, are going to be the exception. They're going to be rarities indeed. Any other questions or comments? And they're all working lands. They all have high values, and you'll see from even the raw scores that they all scored well on almost all counts. And the frustration for staff is that we couldn't fund more of them. And hopefully in the next cycle, maybe we'll have remedied that to some extent.
Anyone else? Any questions? Hey, can you clear up for me the Shannon Ranch? It was. Said the sponsor was Talt, but another form over here says Hill Country Conservancy. Who is the sponsor?
I'm afraid I'm not familiar enough with
Frank. Hill Country Conservancy.
I apologize for the misprint there.
Ted, I have a question. Can you elaborate a little bit? Quite a few of these had landowner cash matches. Can you explain a little bit what's going on there?
Yes, sir, I sure can. In some cases, the landowner is actually producing cash that's going to cover the cost of a monitoring endowment and due diligence costs. In other cases, that simply represents a bargain sale. They have an appraisal. They know that the conservation easement fair market value is $1 million. They're willing to sell for $700,000. That $300 delta that they're leaving on the table, from their perspective, represents a cash match.
Thank you. So it's kind of a little bit of, them making an above and beyond effort to make the transaction.
In every case, that is what it is. Yes, sir.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, if we don't have any other questions, that concludes the presentation on item number 5. So we're going to go to item number 6, which will be consideration of the staff recommendations for the fiscal year 22-23 applications. Mr. Hollingsworth.
Very good. As the chairman said, we're now going to look at how those projects fell out in terms of ranking and available funding, and propose a suite of projects for the council to consider funding in this cycle. Next slide. So we have, in each cycle, the department has put together a team of subject matter experts. They include watershed, water quality, water quantity experts, species experts, and when I say species experts, folks who have expertise in the area of those species that are threatened or endangered or are species of greatest conservation need. We have folks on the committee who really have real estate expertise in terms of what those threats are across the state, and at the recommendation of this council in the last meeting, we, in fact, for the last two cycles, we've had a representative from the agriculture industry that was recommended by the council to look at those and help score those from the perspective of a producer of what those real working lands values are. Since some of us, are more focused perhaps on snakes or lizards or birds or grasses, we wanted that set of eyes that really did understand the finances and the mechanics of working lands. So the team members were Justin Dreibelbus, who's program director for the Private Lands and Public Hunting Program. I was on that scoring team. Tim Birdsong is our he's inland fisheries, but he really is our water quality and quantity expert. Greg Creasy is the natural resources director in the State Parks Division. Jason Estrella is also in the Land Conservation Program. Chris Abernathy is the program coordinator for the Texas Farm and Ranchland Conservation Program. And Jay Evans was the agriculture industry representative. Next slide. So this is the scoring criteria that fell out of House Bill 1925 and was further tweaked by this council over the first couple of sessions. The House Bill 1925 specifically singled out threat of development. That was they singled that out and made it clear that that was the greatest concern, is trying to catch properties before they get turned into commercial or residential development or other fragmentation that would take out their productive, you know, their working lands values. So that criteria is scored at 30 points, up to 30 points. The value cost effectiveness of the project, 20 points. Watershed values, 20 points. Fish and wildlife value, 15 points. Contribution to a conservation landscape, in other words, is there additive value to adjacent or nearby working lands or conservation lands that is enhanced or complemented by the project, 10 points. And then the terms of the conservation easement. Every single proposal we've had is for a conservation easement that is a permanent conservation easement, although statutorily a 30-year conservation easement is eligible for consideration. So whether or not it's permanent, and we also work very closely with those land trusts and look at their missions to make sure that that conservation easement is going to be one that they can live with in terms of their mission, that they're in a position to monitor and enforce if necessary, and it fits the mission of this program. So 5 points there. Next slide. Not going to go into any detail, but you can see that the scores on these ranged from 80 at the Mid-Island Ranch down to, if I squint a little bit, I can probably 60, thank you, down to 60 for the J Ranch. Not a big spread, not a really big spread. And the fact that all of them scored as high as they did tells us a couple of things, one of which is we've been working with these land trusts for long enough that they know the kind of projects that match this program and fit this program. And secondly, that they're just bringing us high-quality projects, as you could tell from the slides and the discussion, bringing us high-quality projects. So as we look at this chart, if we just go by the raw scores, if we just go by the scores that fell out from the scoring team, and start at the top and fund those as they scored, we'll see that 10 projects, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 projects could be funded before we reached our budget limit. And even though the limit is, even though from the appropriation, $1.8 million is available, we know from past experience that gives us probably $30,000 to $50,000 in headroom that we always end up using. There's always some costs that come up that are unanticipated. In this case, the staff is willing to commit another $15,000 to be able to fund those 10 projects. And then you can see which projects were not funded. And in many cases, that was because the federal funding component did not come through. Next slide. 10 applications recommended by staff to the council for funding. Total protected area would be over 17,000 acres. Total estimated market value of those conservation easements, over $14 million. Average cost per acre from this suite of projects, if you choose to concur with staff, it's $103 per acre. Total federal funding, over $6 million. Total cash match, $117,000. Total in-kind match. And Chairman, I'd like to go back to your question. That cash match is actual cash out of the landowner's pocket to help cover those costs of getting the project across the finish line. That in-kind match value is the delta of what they are willing to leave on the table. Non-Parks and Wildlife funding to, again, a 7-to-1 ratio of that conservation easement value to Farm and Ranch Land Council funding. The funding ratio would be consistent with what it's been up to date, 7-1. Staff recommends awarding, well, we'll get to the recommendation, but that total again is 1.815 and some change in grant funds. Next slide. Here's the recommendation that we're bringing to you this morning. Move the council award funds to the 10 applications as recommended by staff, and that funding be applied to other projects in order of priority should funding become available. That covers two contingencies, one of which is if a project falls through, we don't want to have to reconvene a quorum of the council to move that funding into the next available project. And if $100,000 is freed up, we would go to the next project in that $100,000 range. The next highest ranking project, if $500,000 becomes available, of course, we'd go to the next project, the next highest ranking project. The other contingency is should funding become available for any reason, should somebody donate money to the project. For example, the legislation that created the program really allows funding from almost any source. When the GLO had the program, they got a coastal management program grant. They got a federal grant to fund the program. They could only pay for conservation easements in the coastal management zone because of the source of the funds. But again, we've looked at the potential for requesting federal funding to support the program. The problem historically has been the funding cycles. Federal grants typically take a year to get awarded and then another year to actually have access to the funds, which takes you into the next biennium, which makes it problematic matching up with the state appropriation. But again, this motion would allow us, if funds became along or if a project fell out and those funds came available, to staff to go to that chart that you've seen and fund the next highest ranking fundable project in that list. And with that, I'd be happy to attempt to address any questions or comments you might have.
Thank you, Ted. Any questions from council members? Comments, questions?
Just again, commend you for, I've never seen such a comprehensive measure of success. And the one that I guess wasn't in the summary was the one you talked about right at the very beginning, which was that cost-to-benefit ratio of 27-1. You know, I don't know that anybody else can match that. So, just
it's been very cost-effective. I would like to personally take credit for that. Unfortunately, the fact is we have some really, really outstanding partners. And these partners, I have to say, have spent years cultivating these relationships with these landowners. And I have to say that these landowners, everyone that I know of, these landowners are landowners who love their land. And they love their land. And they want to know that when they're gone, the land is still going to be there. In some cases, the children love it just as much. In some cases, they don't. Just to be very candid, but the parents who have assembled those ranches, who have restored those ranches, who have loved those ranches, who have raised their children on those ranches, they can't sleep at night at the thought that it might get busted up into ranchettes or turned into community someday. And so our partners have cultivated these trust relationships, and these are folks who really, really do want to see these properties conserved. We have, as you all know, we just have amazing landowners in Texas, and we have amazing trusts out there working with those landowners to try and help them protect their working lands.
And protect the habitat.
And protect the habitat.
Texas, right? So it helps the landowners, but it really helps the state as a whole.
And it's really fun working with landowners because some of them just, they love deer with big racks. Others of them love horned lizards. You know, but they all love to, some love to see the ducks come through. They all love the land, and they love the animals that the land supports and the vegetation that the land supports. And they are the true conservationists in Texas.
Thank you, Ted, and thank you for reminding us. It's really a long game, and the relationships that these conservation groups maintain for many, many years, sometimes decades, with these landowners. So when they do get ready they've had it on their mind a long time. They've communicated. They know what they can do. It's this stuff doesn't happen fast. It's an emotional issue. It's big. It's meaningful to these landowners. So thank you. Kudos. Anybody else, any questions, comments before I ask for a motion? Any questions, comments? If not, staff has made a recommendation, and I'd ask for a motion by a council member in a second. Please state your name.
Gilly, motion.
Second.
Roel Lopez, second.
Got a second. Did you catch that? Very good. Thank you. Voting will, I'll do it by roll call. Applin, yes. Jackson?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Burgess?
Yes.
Lori? Zier, excuse me.
I abstain as a non-voting member.
Abstain. Frank?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Kinsel?
Yes.
Rojas?
Yes.
Swanson?
Yes.
Okay. I heard all yeses, one abstain, no opposed, so the motion carries. So congratulations, Ted and the group. Incredible work. I don't have any public comment. No one's requested to speak. But if there's anybody in the room that has anything from the public they'd like to mention, now would be the time. Not hearing any. I'm going to declare that the council has completed its business, and I declare the meeting adjourned at 11:17. Thank you for the efficiency. Very nice.